Well, God brought me through it. I want you to pray for my family. We've had two deaths this past week, and one in Maryland and one in Lorain, Ohio. So be prayerful as my family from here travels there. Hallelujah. I feel so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, God. For you are worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, oh God. Yes. You are great, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We humble ourselves to you this morning as we give you praise for the mountains that you have brought us over, God. We just thank you, God. Oh, we don't have enough tongues to give you the praise that you deserve, God. But what we have, oh God, we give it to you this morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, back in the book of Ruth. The more I study this book, praise the Lord, the more I begin to believe that the Church of God needs to have a serious discussion about the book of Ruth.
Amen.
And what it means for us today.
Amen.
This is a marvelous and magnificent book. And it's filled with hidden meaning. And it's meaning that has so far eluded everybody, most everybody. I want to go back to where we were last time. I want to take up a couple of things that we were talking about last time. Let's go back to verse 15 of chapter 3. And the Syriac says, "And Boaz said to her, 'Spread out your cloak,' and she spread it out. And he measured and extended to her 6 measures of barley. And he lifted it upon her, and she took it up and came to the city." And the King James says she went into the city. But the Hebrew actually says, he said, "Give the veil that is upon you and take hold of it." Then she took hold of it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, and he placed it upon her, and he came to the city. And I believe that is exactly the right text. I believe that is exactly what happened. I believe that is what the original actually said. That he went to the city before she did. Okay, now 6 measures of barley. I went back and read some of the rabbis' discussions on this. The book of Ruth was one of the first books of the Bible, one of the very first books of the Bible that the rabbis ever wrote commentaries on. So it's one of the oldest books when you go to the rabbinic commentaries, the book of Ruth is one of the oldest rabbinic commentaries that there is. So that's kind of interesting, I thought. But anyway, the rabbis say that the 6 measures of barley were the price of betrothal. Now, when you in the old days, when a Hebrew bridegroom wanted to engage a woman or wanted to betroth a woman, he would give her something of value with the understanding that they would be engaged. Now, once you were engaged, it wasn't like nowadays that you could just give your ring back and that'd be the end of it. No. Once you were engaged, you were husband and wife.
So it was a little deeper.
It was much deeper than that. It took a bill of divorcement to kill it.
Oh, my goodness.
It took a bill of divorcement. And unfaithfulness at that time would have been adultery.
Whoa.
That's exactly what the situation was with Mary and Joseph. They were engaged.
Jesus.
They had not come together yet as husband and wife, but they were engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it was a very serious matter when that he thought she was with child by somebody else. But now, so when they're engaged, now in this particular case, of course, it would have been a conditional engagement because he has to make sure that the other guy who has preeminence over him, he's got to get him to relinquish his right to her before they can go through with this. So they understand that it is a conditional engagement. Now, there is another thing here. According to the rabbis, that much barley weighed about 60 pounds. 60 pounds. Now, that's a pretty heavy load for a girl to carry, especially any distance. But nowadays, we've got women that are dying to carry 60 pounds. They want to carry 60 pounds. They're suing to carry 60 pounds. They literally suing people. Because what am I talking about? 60 pounds is what a backpack weighs when you're in the Army.
Yeah.
A 60-pound backpack that you carry, that soldiers carry in the Army. And women are dying to get into the Army and carry that 60-pound backpack. They want to. They just can't. They can't live without it. They got to have it. They got to have that 60-pound backpack. That's right. Now, does that make sense? No. Doesn't make a lick of sense to me, but that's where we're at today. Now, but anyhow, 60 pounds is a lot of weight for a woman to carry. That's just a lot of weight.
Brother Bonnie, she wasn't a couch potato, though.
No, she wasn't a couch potato, no.
She was out there leaning and moving. And
she was not, that's true, she was not a couch potato.
Whatever she gleaned back to
that's true.
All, you know, every day.
Yeah, I know.
And she wasn't gleaning a little bit just to make sure that she got a lot. So
The rabbis talked about that, how heavy that would have been. And they said, well, you know, he could have given her maybe 6 grains of barley instead of 6 measures of barley. It would have been symbolic, you know. But they said, well, no, as rich a man as he was, 6 grains of barley just wouldn't have cut it. He had to give her more than that. But anyway, so the rabbis have had a considerable discussion about this. And we need to realize, somebody said to me, I guess it was Brother David that said to me, probably this field of Boaz, probably when we get to heaven, we're going to discover that the very place that Jesus was born was in the field of Boaz.
Wow.
And I would not be a bit surprised. But what when we get to heaven, we're going to discover that stable that Jesus was born in was located on that portion of the field that belonged to Elimelech.
This is Bethlehem.
That is absolutely correct, yeah. Either that portion of the field that belonged to Elimelech or that portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, one or the other, because it was just outside of Bethlehem. And it was just, I mean, you know, knowing how things work out in the spirit world, I'm just about positive that we're going to be, if we knew exactly the place where Jesus was born, it was either in the field of Boaz or the field of Elimelech. It's going to be one or the other. We're going to find that out.
All right.
It's going to be that. We're going to be, it's going to be that. Okay. Well, lots of things we can talk about here. But anyhow.
You know, one thing I would like to reiterate here. Ruth realized she needed a redeemer. You know,
oh,
people
yes.
that they don't realize, hey, I need
that is
a
true.
Redeemer. I need a redeemer. Jesus is our redeemer. But she realized herself, yeah, I need a redeemer.
Yeah.
I'm going. I need a
That's
redeemer.
Right.
I want to be redeemed. Praise God.
Well, you know, actually now, you know, that is true, but really, what she was really concerned about was redeeming Naomi.
Yes.
Now, that was really what she... Now, it's like Boaz... Now, here's the thing about what Boaz said to her. Remember, he said, you could have... you beautiful young thing. You could have had any man in the country.
Uh-huh.
You could have had a rich young man. You could have had a poor young man. You could add poor, anybody, but you chose me. Mm-hmm. Now, really what she was really angling for, and Boaz knew it, was to save Naomi.
You know, and that's what we should be aiming for.
That's,
we want to be redeemed, that we can redeem others.
That is true. That is true.
That should be
that's true.
That should be our desire. Not just, I want to redeem
that's
myself.
True. That is right.
I want a redeemer because I can get my family, neighbors.
That is correct.
Co-workers.
That is correct.
I just want to go down the line, just get there. People are
it's not just that we want to be fireproof, but we want to be a vessel.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. We want to be a vessel of redemption.
You know why? Because that's God's heart.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right.
God, you want to please Him, and that's what.
Exactly right. That is the desire of His heart.
It's not about yourself. It's about the other person.
That's right.
You know?
That is absolutely correct. Now, that's true.
Because she could have chosen, she could have enjoyed the things.
Yeah.
Much younger.
She could have taken care of her. That's right.
I mean,
she could, that's right.
She was still young and
yes, she was. Yes, she was. If we can believe anything Boaz said, we can believe that.
She realized she needed a redeemer.
Yeah.
Not for herself.
That's right.
Holy, but for,
exactly.
For the world.
That is exactly.
He didn't come to redeem us, but the whole world. He so loved the world.
That's right.
And see, the church world got to realize that not just redemption for yourself.
That's right.
But you want to be redeemed because, ah.
Amen. Praise God. Mm. Amen. We're redeemed. We're redeemed for, the Bible says we were bought with a price and we are not our own.
That's right. Mm. Amen.
Come
Amen.
On now.
We're redeemed for, we're redeemed to work and to bring forth.
Yes. And she might not have known it, but she wasn't just going for Naomi too. She was keeping that lineage of Jesus open.
She didn't know all of that.
She didn't know all of that. She didn't
but
know all of that,
that's
but
right.
She was being
that's
used
right.
of it.
That's true. Mm. Now the rabbis also say that the six measures of barley represented six righteous men that would come from her. Let's see, who was, let's see, they said it was, I meant to bring the book and I forgot. They said, David, Hezekiah, Josiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which they count as one man. Daniel and the Messiah. Six righteous men came from her.
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from her too?
That's what the rabbis say, yes. Yeah.
I never realized what tribe Daniel was from.
Hezekiah, yeah. Hezekiah, Josiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, see, is that right? David. Don't forget David.
Oh, no.
Don't forget David. David, Hezekiah, Josiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and the Messiah. Six righteous men. Six measures of barley represented the six righteous men that would come from her.
Mm. Well, there's more than six righteous, no doubt, but those are probably the main.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
The
the ones that the Bible really, really recognize, yes. Well, all right, praise God.
You know, you were talking about not realizing Daniel, and you know, I didn't realize it either, but it makes sense because when the king of Babylon came and defeated Jerusalem, he took the smartest young men back to be trained up in the Babylonian arts.
That's right.
Advisors.
Right.
The smartest men, of course, were going to be princes, you see. Mm-hmm. And so, who are the princes? They're the descendants of David,
yeah.
You see. Mm-hmm. The kings were descended from David, so the princes would also be.
All right, here it is. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. You know, there's so much about the Bible that we don't pay enough attention to. It says, now among these, were the children of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel.
Black and white.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
So right there it says it, flat out.
Wow.
That these were children of Judah.
Wow. I never noticed.
Yeah. So anyhow, of course that doesn't necessarily mean that just because they were children of Judah that they were children of Ruth also. But anyway, that's what the rabbis say. But anyhow, so there you go. Let's see if we can get to chapter 4 here real quick. Now, we're going to... Chapter 4 is something else. Let's look at the last verse in chapter 3, verse 18. That's verse 18. Then she said, "Sit, my daughter, until you know how the matter shall fall, for the man will not rest except he conclude the matter this day." All right. So,
but he's seen an urgency to do that this
day. Oh, that's right. So she says, now, in my opinion, I believe she I understand this to say that everything that you talked about he's going to do today, and including that he's going to marry you today. Today is your wedding day. The man won't rest until he has married you this day, if it's at all possible. So she's about to become the queen of the manor. No more gleaning for her.
Own the field.
That's right. That's right. She's going to own the field now, praise the Lord.
I don't know how she could sit still then.
Maybe that's why you wanted to sit still.
What'd
you say, Greg? I didn't hear
you.
I don't know how she
can
sit still.
Just sit still. Just sit
still. You have to tell me to sit still.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's true, right?
Big things going.
She'd already gotten ready.
She was already ready. That's right. That's right. She's already dressed up. She's
already washed and cleaned.
That's right. That's right. She was. That's right. She was perfumed and everything was ready to go.
All right. But sit still, my daughter.
Yeah, sit still. That's good.
No, I thought that one of my favorite scriptures to be still and know that I'm God. I mean, that just kind of puts a new light on it to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do need to be still and know God. Yeah, so we can hear. Sometimes we got to do it. So she was being still.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1.
That was deep, bro.
That was good. Praise God. Praise God. That was good, Brother Ray. That's good. I appreciate that. And the King James says, "Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." Now, the King James missed that subtle little transition phrase there, that transition particle that the Hebrew uses to show a break in the continuity of the sequence. Because it actually says, "Now Boaz had gone up to the gate," which coincides exactly with verse 15, where it says, "And he placed it upon her, and he came to the city." So he went to the city before she went to see her mother-in-law, and he sat down before the sun came up, before it was light enough, because when Ruth got to Naomi, it was still too dark for Naomi to recognize her. Because she said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm Ruth." So it was still too dark, and Boaz was already sitting in the gate. All right. Now, it really gets interesting. This is a very, very, very puzzling, challenging, incredibly deep chapter. This is where all of the commentators just get tied up in knots trying to figure out what's going on here. Nobody knows. All right. So, let's get into this a little bit. Now, here it says, he says to this guy, in the Hebrew, he says, "Paloni almoni." He says, "Hey, Paloni almoni," which means whoever you are. Now, and the King James translates "such a one." And that's a good translation, "such a one." Now, Boaz obviously knew who this guy was. But the scripture goes way out of its way not to give us this man's name. Mm-hmm. It wants to keep this man's name a secret. Yeah. Wants to keep it a secret. For whatever reason, now there we can talk about that for quite a while about why this guy is kept secret. And actually, in one of the Aramaic commentaries on this, it says, "Turn aside, O he whose paths are secret, and sit here." That's what it actually says, what the Aramaic says. He whose paths are secret, turn aside and sit here. So there's a great secret about who this guy is. We know that he's closer to Elimelech than Boaz is. Somehow or other, he is closer. And we don't know exactly how they're related. But he's got to be at least a first cousin. Because that's what you had to be a kinsman redeemer. Okay.
What's the next kinsman?
The what?
Man is near kin to us, one of our next kinsmen.
That's right. That's what he's talking about. So a near redeemer.
It has to be
you got to be at least a first cousin. A first cousin. You could be a brother, an uncle, son, a father, or a first cousin, a nephew, but no farther away than a first cousin. But anyhow, so somehow or other, this guy, this anonymous...
I don't know how true it is, but some have speculation that Boaz was a nephew and... the relative he went to visit was a brother.
Yeah,
I would not be at the least
surprised if that was the case. As a matter of fact, that's the way I feel in my soul that that's what it is. But
even look at their verse, he says. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother.
Well, what's a brother?
What I'm saying,
I can't say that it was actually his brother. But that, I'm just saying that was the speculation.
That's right. And the rabbis, a lot of the rabbis actually think that they were three brothers. But that this guy was an older brother, so therefore he had preeminence. I don't feel that that is the case. I don't feel like that's the case. But then again, we're going to have to wait till we get to heaven before we know that for sure. But anyhow, one of the things I want to do when I get to heaven, I want to see Boaz, and I want to ask him about some of this stuff. I want to get some information. I want some further information on how all this went down. I want details. Give me details.
Hey, you're going to be in heaven forever. You're going to have a chance. I mean,
yeah,
you're going to have many opportunities.
I'm going to have opportunity. That's right. I want to find out all the details. I want to know details.
Bro, money going to be this person in heaven that we know where all these books are.
That's right. I want to try to hunt down the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to ask him a bunch of things. I want to find Boaz. I want to ask him some things. That's for sure.